You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Dunedin Multidisciplinary Health and Development Study, which we call the Dunedin Study, is a birth cohort. It's a longitudinal study of babies that were born between the 1st of April 1972 and the 31st of March 1973 at Queen Mary Hospital in Dunedin. That's the only maternity hospital. So there was 1,037 babies that were born during that time and still living in Dunedin at the age of three. And those babies have been followed now for half a century and have been assessed as part of the Dunedin study.
And what's the next phase of the study?
So the last time we saw the study members was at age when they were age 45, so in 2017 to 2019, and we're beginning our age 52 assessment phase on the 8th of April, and we'll be doing that for the next 2 years. So all the study members will come in when they turn 52.
Wow, and these are all the original participants?
That's right. So we are, what's most unique about our study, we are the longest running birth cohort study in New Zealand, but not the longest internationally. There are other studies that have been going longer. And we're not the biggest either. So there are studies that have several thousand participants. What makes the Dunedin study so unique is that we see close to 95% of our study members every time. So at age 45, 94% of the study members participated. Now, for other studies around the world, sort of the highest rates that they usually see is about up to 70% of people in their study. So, and why it's so important in terms of that high participation rate is it's the people that don't participate, so that 30, 40, 50% that don't participate in other studies are usually the ones that find it difficult to participate because of, say, health issues or because of complicated lives. They may have no fixed abode. But our study captures everybody. And what that means is our study members come from all walks of life. And so we get this really rich picture of human lives and their health and well-being.
Are there any questions you have? I mean, obviously there will be, but particular answers that you're looking for?
Yeah, well, I mentioned it's called the Dunedin Multidisciplinary Health and Development Study. That multidisciplinary part is the other thing that makes it really special, this study, because we look at a whole range of things. So the study members, they'll come in, they're going to come in for a full eight-hour day, and then on a second day they also do a MRI brain scan. But on that eight-hour day, they come and we ask them all sorts of questions about their lives, their employment, their relationships. We ask them about their health and well-being. But we actually do a range of physical health measures as well, clinical quality. So we do lung function, we do dental, we take their blood, we do mental health, we do cognitive testing, all sorts of things. So we sort of look at the whole body system, and then we also look at their lives. So it's a really rich picture of someone's health. But if you remember, then of course we have it over the last 50 years as well.
Do you think the results that you find or have found so far have been helpful to New Zealand specifically, or can they be used more globally?
Yeah, I guess I'll make two points there. Firstly, that, you know, the study members, this study would not be possible without the study members. They are the true heroes of this study. You know, a 50-year commitment by themselves and their families to participate. The reason that they do it is because they want their information to be used to help other New Zealanders. But also, it has been, in terms of internationally, it's known as the most detailed study of health and development in the world. We've had more than 1,400 research reports that have come out of the study. It has impacted on international policy and practice as well.
That's amazing. Do you think there's a lot of international eyes watching?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's certainly been used both nationally and internationally in areas such as injury prevention. So our work informed things like safety mats and playgrounds, how we deal with young people that are getting in trouble with the law. It certainly helped in relation to our understandings of youth offending. One of the key findings was that in adolescence for teenage boys, by the time they were 15, it was almost the norm to be doing some form of illegal behaviour. But then over time, as they grew, as they got older and moved into adulthood, that behaviour actually stopped. And so if it's quite a normal pattern to be doing these types of things, it speaks to the importance of how we work with young people when they are getting in trouble. That particular research resulted was cited in a 2005 Supreme Court decision, which actually raised the death penalty to over 18. So you had to be over 18 when you committed that crime. More than 70 young people came off death row as a result of that decision in the US. So that's just a really clear example of how it's impacted internationally.
That's incredible. Is there an end date to the study?
I mean, I think it gets more and more valuable, the data, as we go along. Because the study members, I know it sounds strange that they're only 50, but increasingly it's become a study of ageing. Now, ageing doesn't just sort of occur when we hit 65 or 70. We age over time, and so the study has increasingly, even from sort of the mid-20s, looked at how people are ageing over time. I mentioned all of those sort of measures that we use, and what those measures do, because we take a multidisciplinary approach, is it tells us about the whole body. It tells us about the body systems, and we've been able to look at how people are ageing over time and showing that even though they're the same chronological age, there's actually quite a large difference in how people are biologically ageing. In 2015, we put out our first big paper when the study members were 38. And what we found using those measures of the whole body system is that although they were chronologically aged 38, some of them had biological ages that were sort of towards their early 20s, and others were heading towards their late 50s. So it gives us a better picture of not just making policy decisions or decisions on how we treat people based on how old they are, based on their chronological age, but also biological ageing as well. And that's certainly where we'll continue to inform in relation to health and policy.
If there's any listeners that are curious about this and want to find out and look at these studies, where should they go?
Yeah, we've got a great website, the Dineen Study. If you just Google Dineen Study, there was a four-part documentary that came out a few years ago. I do believe it's available online. We have a number of books too. There was a 2020 book that came out. But if they go to the Dineen Study website, they'll be able to find our publications and get more information about the history of the study. So I definitely recommend going there.